Latinium, yeah. Turn the camera so you can see them. And turn it on. You should see start video.
Let me just put it right here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that big. Actually. Just won't stand still. Jesus. I don't know like a good place to put it. And get it like under there. Okay. Work, right?
How about Rose?
Can they hear us?
He has my number.
There we go. Okay. We got webcam on.
Yeah, we can hear you guys.
You can hear us? Okay,
yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah,
I can't turn you guys up though.
Who's the administrator?
That's Arthur.
Who's that?
Alan Rose.
Yes.
There we go.
I got a call from Mr. Barron saying we'd start in about 5 minutes. He's running a little late.
Okay, no worries. Hey, Charles.
Hello. Yeah, I'm so sorry I'm late. I would just concluded another mediation shortly before this one. Do we have everybody present?
Yes.
I think we do.
Yes.
Okay.
And where are your clients? At their home?
They're here. No, I have Daniel here is with me, and Josh and Jacob are on Zoom lines.
Okay. So you have one in your office and the other two are elsewhere.
Yeah, I'm at work right now.
You're at work?
Yeah, I'm in my car on my lunch break, just sitting here. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Just another few seconds. I'm just grabbing my pad. Okay, so, we'll first talk about where we left off before. And just
one real quick. I think I heard Elliot's voice. Is Elliot in one of the rooms? And I don't particularly necessarily care if he's in there because,
No,
he's obviously the parent, the father of the three boys. But I heard his voice earlier for sure. So I just didn't know if he was there. No. Just wanted to know, not that I care.
I'm assuming he's there because he drove Danny, but I'm sure he's not in the room. About appearances.
No worries, thanks.
Well, yeah, let's and for Josh, Jake, and Ted, is there anyone else at all in the room with you?
No.
Okay. And Alan, what about let's see.
Ted and I are in different places this time, but we're both we're each in a room alone.
Right. And then okay, so we have Jake and Josh, and then what about Daniel?
Oh, sorry, I'm here.
Daniel.
Hello.
Daniel is right there.
Sorry. Hello.
Oh, okay, yeah, now I understand. Okay. Okay, great.
I can't fit in on the screen.
All right, so let's briefly summarize where we left off last time, what questions were left open, and tell me if I'm missing anything. One was, Art, you were going to determine if you were going to, if you had grounds to defend the foreclosure action from that third-party lender, and make a decision on what you were going to do with that. And we also left off where initially there was a preference for you, Art, to be the trustee, but you all, I take it, were looking into an alternative. Am I missing anything?
No, I filed a motion recently to have Ginger Stanger appointed as the trustee. Ginger Stanger is the grandmother. And with regard to the foreclosure, I don't really want to go into that, but I did already file a motion in the foreclosure case to set aside the default that had been entered. And Mr. Rose is fully aware of the grounds of that motion, so we don't need to go into that, really.
Well, the issue with the foreclosure had to do with the house, Alan, why don't you go ahead and recap what the decision making is on the house, depending on what's happening with the foreclosure.
Right. Thank you. Yeah. So the purpose was of the break was, I guess, to look into the idea that the mortgage foreclosure action was time barred, not whether you can move to set aside a default. and whether you can or you can, and whether that does anything to the foreclosure against the borrower or not is sort of a separate issue to me. The question is, you know, was, do you want the house? What are you going to do about the house? Because we also have a second mortgage, and that's the last asset of this estate. Everything else is pretty much done. And so we're going, you know, the trust now owns the mortgage. And if there's going to be 2 years or 3 years of litigation over the mortgages, then the trust is going to be open for 2 or 3 years. And we're not going to distribute money to beneficiaries for 2 or 3 more years. That's really what we're trying to figure out. If you want the house, and the other thing we wanted to figure out, and I'm a broken record, maybe Ted can address it. And, you know, it's again why I appreciate that Elliot's not in there, but I don't care if he is, because it's obviously the house that he lives in that his parents bought for him and his family to live in. But, you know, the house is the last asset of anybody that's of any significance, and we're trying to figure out what they want to do with the house. And if the answer is we don't care, we'll take our chances, we got a great lawyer, Art, and we think Art can beat, you know, the lawyers for Mr. and Mrs. Somm, or we don't care about your second mortgage and we don't care about this and that, then that's fine. This will be quick and short. If the other alternative is we'd like to find a way to keep the house and do it in the most economic way possible and preserve as much of the rest of our inheritance as we can, that's a secondary thing. And, you know, for the past 8 years, we've been prohibited from doing logical, rational things to try to minimize expense and protect assets because we've been, you know, involved in contentious and complex and expensive and time-consuming litigation. And so that's basically, you know, that's the recap of the house. On the Ginger Stanger issue, I can tell you, and I'll let Ted speak to it directly, and, you know, his thoughts on these two issues, because I think it's important. If you want... That's an elderly grandmother. I think it's, we might as well just give the money directly to Elliot and let him and the kids and let them spend it how they want if we give it to an 84-year-old grandmother. I mean, the purpose of the money was it was going to be administered through a trust, a trust for the benefit of the children, but with limited uses, and mainly to protect the money for the children's benefit from their father. And if we put, you know, Candace's mother as the trustee, we're not really protecting the money from Elliot and Candace, so we might as well just give the money to the kids freely. I was sort of hoping you could find an uncle, someone who was in their 40s or 50s, somebody that would read, you know, could confirm to us that they're going to read the trust and follow the trust and use the money in accordance with Simon's wishes. I read Art's motion, and he's right to some degree that only these three children care about this. And they're the only ones with an interest in it, with the exception of one human being who's trying to carry out the wishes, the very clear, express, and meaningful wishes of his father, a great man whose wishes deserve to be honored and performed. So that's where we are, those two issues, and I appreciate coming back. I don't think we need to spend all day or, you know, very much, but I think on those two issues, we should try to see if we can reach ground, because just so you know where I think this could end up, this could end up with the children owning the house at a minimal expense with no mortgages, and they would have some money left over to further the family's collective experience and education and things. And if that's not the way that's going to go, then it's not in my control to do anything about it. I just have to sit and hold my mortgage. The trust will hold its mortgage. The trust has a foreclosure lawyer, and we'll let this guy, Robert Sweetapple, handle that litigation. And then we can go have the judge decide if she wants to give the money to Elliot and to Candace's mother, and or she wants to, you know, require it to be administered by a trustee. Ted, you want to chime in?
Oh, yes, I do. And you guys can hear me just fine?
Yes.
Loud and clear.
So not surprisingly, my feelings about the two issues Alan just addressed are the same as Alan's. So I'm not going to, I don't want to, you know, rehash that today or right at this moment. What I want to know today is, are we here to make a deal? This can get litigated as it's been litigated for 8 long years. And I appreciate the fact that the boys, my nephews, have reached an age where they can participate to the extent that they can, because this is impacting them significantly. It's a significant amount of money. It's where they live. It's familial issues. It's just an emotionally charged set of facts and circumstances, and it could just keep going on. And to be honest with you, it looks like it's just going to keep going on. And that's serving nobody's best interest. And I have to wear these two hats. I'm a member of this family and I'm a trustee. And as the trustee, it just, you know, saddens me that this is going on for this long at this point of time, that we are still, I feel, no closer than we have been. Unless you're here today to say that we're wrong, that I'm wrong, that we are here trying to make a deal, that we're not going to litigate the mortgage. If you guys want to litigate the mortgage, litigate the mortgage. This will end today. You'll litigate the mortgage. We'll litigate the trustees. All that litigation will just continue on. I can assure you of that. That's what's happened for 8 years. That's going to happen for another 8 years. If you're here today to figure out a solution to all of these outstanding issues, whatever they may be, and put together a comprehensive package, let me hear that, because I honestly have no idea what you guys are trying to accomplish. And I'm not saying that in a negative, in any way assessing blame, because this started over a correspondence between me and Joshua. It was me and Josh started a conversation on text about wanting to stay in the house. I was encouraged by that. So that led to us having an attempt at the first mediation. I understand what happens in these things. Here we are now. And I don't know what you guys want. I do know that you expressed an interest to stay in the house. I don't know how you want to stay in the house, for how long. Are you trying to stay in the house for a year, 5 years, forever? What is the plan? What would you like to see accomplished? Do you have the structure of any kind of an outline that we could start to work with today? Because I just think if today we don't reach a deal, we're just headed for another 8 years of burning this money that was left to you guys. So we could do that. And that's, to me, is the only certain thing I know about where we are today. I'd love for you to throw some uncertainty at me and say, here's what we want. Here's what we're trying to accomplish. Work with us. So that's all I have to say, guys.
Art, I think responding to that, and maybe, I don't know if you need to talk this with your clients in private first, but you responding to that, I think, would contribute to making progress here, determine if anything can be done in this mediation. Art, would you like to respond? Would you like the first conference with your clients on Ted's question?
With regard to the mortgage, I guess I should have been a little bit more explicit in saying that the motion that I filed was a first step in getting the mortgage foreclosure proceeding on the first mortgage terminated in our favor. I have a plan to just simply wash out that first mortgage. And so when that's done, then we don't have that before us. And as far as the second mortgage is concerned, I've already mentioned the fact that we don't consider that second mortgage to have any significance because it was issued by an LLC, and there was a conflict of interest. And so with those two mortgages, we have to litigate them. If it takes a year to litigate them, let that be. But the fact is, in my view, it should not interfere with our mediating the amount of disbursements to make out of the trust or the name of the trustee. Now, we named Ginger Stanger as a potential, but Ginger Stanger is not 84 years old. She's in her 70s, I understand. And so she's not even as old a person as I am. My name was suggested. I'm 83. So that's a little bit better. And she is a relative. And I haven't heard any other suggestions. I've heard you mention other names of people who are in their 40s or 50s, but I haven't had a suggestion on that. So if we can get a trustee named, if we can get some funds dispersed for them to have cars, because they really need cars. The boys need cars in their education. They need to have cars to get around. So, I mean, those are expenses that we'd like to get resolved now.
Okay, now, thank you. Now, what about, do you want to have your clients answer Ted's question about what the plans are for the house, if they just want possession indefinitely without any further plans or some alternative plan for possession?
No, that plan is just simply to go ahead and reside in the house and hope that I'll be successful in the litigation.
Yeah. Your voice was kind of fuzzy there.
And hope that I'll be successful in the litigation.
But you plan on staying in the house.
Plan on staying in the house. Okay, yes. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I have a question for the lawyers in this conversation. Can you guys guesstimate? I'm not asking you to give a precise number. Can you guesstimate or give us a range of the time? Because one thing I've learned going through this process is that we're in a time warp. Everything that I, you know, projected was going to take a year takes 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. So my point is, how much time is the litigation going to take for this mortgage issue? And how much money is it going to take? Again, both I'm asking for you guys to do the best you can on ranges. Okay, so that's all. That would really help me.
Alan, you want to start on that?
Oh, I mean, sure. I'll give you my view of it. There's a limited amount of money sitting in the registry of the court that's available for the three boys. It really should be their money and their father, if their father had served as trustee, but, you know, that's water, you know, over the dam. We can't, you know, that we're not going to worry and talk about. The lawyer on the other side is Robert Sweetapple. Robert Sweetapple, Sweetapple. Look him up. He's one of the best lawyers in Boca Raton, mm-hmm. and probably one of the best lawyers in Palm Beach County. Mm-hmm. He's a super aggressive, really highly skilled lawyer. He's got a medium-sized firm made up of people that he's very close, you know, he's worked with for a long time. But if you were to ask anybody in town the name Robert Sweetapple, they'd say he's a very good lawyer. I've litigated against him many times. He's not a friend. He's a professional business acquaintance that I've come across occasionally. I've never had dinner with him. I've never socialized with him. I don't particularly like him, although I would prefer you, that's mediation privilege. You're not allowed to repeat anything I say today to anybody else. But he's one of the best lawyers in town, and he's going to crush Arthur in this foreclosure case. The mortgages were given to an elderly man named Walter Somm, who graciously sold his house to your father, your grandmother and grandfather before your grandmother renovated it and let you all move into it. And you owe them like 300 grand and it's going to go up every day. So if you want to fight them, that's fine. We can't stop that. And we'll, Ted and I will sleep well tonight knowing that we've at least told you all of this. I don't care how good of a lawyer Art is, it's a mortgage.
But real quick, we asked for a guesstimate and a time. So
okay.
What do you think that is? Because I'm on a time crunch right now.
Okay, gotcha.
I know how everything is.
6 months to a year. Minimum. And you got a huge benefit. COVID helped you out because there's a moratorium on moving foreclosure cases forward. It's probably just now been lifted. So you got a little COVID bonus out of the house. My main concern is you got three young kids, everyone gets their own car and then they get insurance and you're all young boys. So your insurance is through the roof and you're going to blow through this $400,000 so fast that you're not going to have any money left to pay off the mortgage. But I don't, you know, again, I can only, I'm not your lawyer and I'm not giving you any advice. I'm never, you know, and Ted's not your lawyer, he's your uncle. But we've watched really a train wreck in slow motion followed by a fire where the rest of them, and we're just watching all the money get burned and burned and burned, and we're at a crossroads. But if we also have a fiduciary duty to administer the second mortgage, and so, you know, we will follow behind Mr. Sweet Apple's footsteps. If he loses, then he loses and you may keep the house. You'll have to spend money on somebody to defeat him. But, you know, and if you don't, then you'll lose the house and maybe you'll get a year, maybe you'll get 2 years. Maybe, you know, maybe you'll be very lucky.
Do my nephews understand what the second mortgage is?
I think they do.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Simon, when he gave he never gave the house to anybody. He kept all the value of the house for himself. He titled it in the name of an LLC, but he kept a second mortgage that is for far more than the house is worth. So, you know, we're at a final sort of crossroads. And if you want to go down the other route, it's fine. My other concern is, again, if you spend all the money on cars and insurance and maintenance and things, that if you that at the end of the day you won't have any money left to pay off the mortgage. You know, whereas you could pay off the mortgage now, probably at a discount. If you want to litigate for another year or two with these people, you know, they may or may not have the same view of a discount.
How much is that going to cost, Alan, to litigate?
Well, that's a question for Art. Maybe Art's doing this for free, and he's a nice guy, and I don't know. I mean, maybe the Ginger can pay the legal bills out of the trust fund if she gets, you know, control of the trust fund. But I hear Art loud and clear. I think Art has the wrong message, but I hear the message, and that's the main thing we wanted to do. I wanted to make sure that when Ted and I go to sleep tonight, there's no confusion, that we've made our most blatant, clear pleas for, not for attention, but just for everyone to understand what this is going to look like. So and the alternative world, I think, is you can have the house with no mortgages and a bunch of money left over in the registry of the court, or in a trust, or given to you guys. I mean, and then we could shut down the rest of the other half of the trust and be done. As opposed to keeping the other half of the trust, the Simon half of the trust, open until the mortgages are fully resolved, which, again, 2, 3, 4 years, it is what it is.
It's time to make a deal. You have the people here that will help you make a deal with the other stakeholders. You're going down a litigation road, which is going to just burn money, and that's what litigators do. That's what attorneys do. They have a very important role in defending positions. And if we can't make a deal, then you have a lawyer who's going to defend positions for you and spend an enormous amount of money and time that I don't think you have either one. You don't have sufficient amounts of either one. And right now, before we close the chapter on this, me and Alan are saying to you in plain English that we are going to help you, if you want to, make a deal with all the stakeholders involved that is in your best interest. If at the end of the day you say, it's not in our fucking best interest, it's in your best interest, that deal. Okay, you'll say that to us. I don't think that's going to be the case. That's not my intent. That's not Alan's intent. But at the end of the day, nothing's going to happen with this deal, if we can reach a deal with all the stakeholders in this, that you will approve or you won't approve. That will include the three of you, your mom, your dad, your attorney. You'll say yes or you'll say no. But I just don't hear that we are headed down that road. And if we're not headed down that road, I have other stuff to do.
Well,
let the lawyers just fight it out.
Art, before you speak, Art, I want you to address the question of roughly how much time and money do you think it will take to litigate the foreclosure action?
Well, my usual route in mortgage foreclosures is I don't charge. So it's
not going to be... You mean because of the award of attorney's fees you get if you win?
That's right. That's right. And also because the client in each such situation just can't pay. So I just don't charge. And so if you're talking about wasting the assets of the trust, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Okay, and what about the time? Would you agree that it's going to be...
Well, Mr. Rose estimated 6 months to a year. I think that's very conservative. I think that if you have to take an appeal in the case, it'll certainly go up to 2 years.
Two years, you said?
Go up to 2 years for sure.
If you have to take an appeal, it might go up to 2 years, is what he said.
Right, and of course, if it's vigorously litigated, then it's likely to go on appeal. Now, of course, somewhere along the way in that foreclosure action, I assume you would mediate, right, Art?
I would say so, yes. And I would, I might point out that the default that was entered, I assume that Mr. Sweetapple is the one who drafted the default. It's the most absurd default I have ever seen, because the default was entered against Candace as the parent of the children, and Candace wasn't even served with process, let alone the kids being served. But the default was entered against all of them. It's just absurd.
Okay. Now, I'm wondering, Art, if one way to try to make progress on the house/foreclosure issue is to make at least a nuisance value offer to some to try to get rid of it, or and or ask for an early mediation. What do you think?
I guess we could ask for an early mediation. It can't do any harm.
What about making a nuisance value, at least a nuisance value offer to some? Well, you don't have to answer that now, but...
Yeah, I'd have to consult on that.
Yeah, right.
Real quick, just because I am kind of on a time crunch, like I'm sitting in my car, technically taking my lunch break, I got to get back to work. But, you know, real quick, we want to stay in the house. We want to handle the foreclosure our way. I need money to pay off my car. I'm in debt, $19,000 a Jeep. Okay, I would like to pay that off. I know my grandfather would have liked me to pay that off. He wouldn't have wanted me in debt. If I could have gone back in 2013 and bought a new car for $14,000 like he did, I would have. But that's just not the situation today. And then also, there's one other thing. Sorry, I kind of got into a little groove there and I lost it. But, oh, and then for the trustee, we would like to appoint my grandmother as trustee. And at the same time, too, I've tried to appoint two other trustees and they've both been rejected. So if you guys want this to pass over and go along and be done, then, you know, let's just get a trustee picked and approved on both sides and just get this over with. And, you know, that's pretty much all I can say right now. Arthur knows, you know, what I want, and I trust Arthur, and I do have to get going back to work, but I just wanted to put that out there and, you know, say my part right now.
Okay. Before anything else, before Josh leaves, was there some other issue we needed to try to agree on today, like distribution of funds for cars? Or not.
Yeah, that's what I brought up with the 19,000 with the card. Like, I would like to get that distributed as soon as possible because I'm currently working right now. I've been kind of in a little bit of a debt thing due to COVID. I just got back into work and I have bills, credit card, car, and it's a lot right now. So I'd like to just get this debt out of the way.
So, Alan, is there something we can do on that issue?
I mean, I think it's the issue sort of, they only go hand in hand because of once you spend about $75,000 on the cars and the insurance for the cars, you're going to just eventually not have enough money to save your house.
But at the same time, we're not spending $75,000 on cars.
Well,
we're spending 19, and if Jake was to get a car, which he does need, it would be probably around 25 to 30. And so either way, that's not 75. And even if they got a used car, that's a, you know, 17 to 20. We haven't figured out exactly what we want yet, but I'm just putting this out there now because I'm honestly, like, this has been going on too long. So let's just, you know, get this done and over with, and you know, I do gotta get going, so yeah.
I thank you for coming and get back to work so you can make some money. It's nice to have people working hard and making money.
All right, great.
I don't have any objection to that, so thanks. Where do you work, by the way, out of curiosity?
What?
Where do you work, out of curiosity?
At a place in Delray. We sell testosterone through a pharmacy.
Okay. Well, good luck.
Yeah. All right. Have a good one.
Yes.
Thank you. Hi, Josh.
I'm actually at work too, and I just want to say my two cents on what I've been thinking this whole time. So pretty much I start my day off, I wake up 6 in the morning and go to the gym, go back home, work 9 to 5, then I drive back home. My commute is hell. I have to Uber, I have to drive my mom's car around, get rides from friends, which sometimes makes me late. And I'm sure most kids get a car at 16. I've never had a car. I'm 21 years old. I think if my grandfather was here to see my productive lifestyle, he would have gotten me a car instantly. But besides that, I still think he would have gotten me when I was 16. I could take my mom's car. That cuts into her productivity for the day. She can't go anywhere, do anything she has to do. Ubers are killing me with, I got to Uber back and forth to the gym, all that stuff. And I don't know why I don't have a car yet or why that's not in the works.
So is there something we could do today, Alan, on the funds for the cars?
Well, the reason I said 75,000 is I just, if you take three cars at 25 each, it's 75. Plus out of what's left, which I forget exactly how much is left, but I think it's around 400 total. So it's just, you know.
What about some other amount other than 75?
Oh, no, my point was more, listen, what we wanted to find out was what everybody wanted to do. We're not their parents. They've got parents. Simon's dead. Simon bought a $15,000 Kia for one of them because you're right. A lot of kids at age 16 do get cars, but you know, not everyone who's 16 and not everyone whose parents have, you know, are in one economic range than another. But I mean, the purpose of this is to figure out what they want. And I think I know what they want now. They want They want to have, I understand that they want cars, and they have a bunch of immediate needs, and the house is secondary, and if Art can save the house in a foreclosure, great, and if he can't, great. That was the purpose. Why don't we caucus a little bit? I mean, if Jake has to go to work or something, that's fine too. I mean, Art's here. And then maybe we can talk, Ted, Charles, and I can talk, and then, you know, if Jake can stay, it'd be great, but, you know, why don't you mute us around and let Ted talk, and then why don't you, and Charles, you and I, Ted, go in the room, and we can talk for a minute, and then you can talk.
Yeah, I have to go back to work.
Okay.
Thanks for your time, everyone, and have a great weekend.
Is Danny here?
Thank you, Jake. All right, now.
Danny's with Art, I think.
Okay.
Right. Normally on Zoom, I could do these breakout rooms like we did last time, and for some reason right now, it's not working. I had the same problem this morning, and it's not, and I checked my settings, and it says I have the permission for the breakout rooms, and for some reason, it's not working, so we're gonna have to caucus by just me getting on the phone with each side, and I'll just go into another room of my office.
Maybe if you want to disconnect, who's the administrator? Who set the Zoom?
Me.
Oh, okay, because, yes. I don't know how, Art can drop off, and then you can talk to Ted and I, and then you can call Art on the cell phone, and that would be an easy way to do it.
Right. Yeah, okay, so.
All right, let's do that, and
Art could always log back in again.
As a matter of fact, we can go out of the room and close the door.
We'll do it this way, Art. You click the button that says leave, and then when we're ready,
he'll call you.
We'll have you log back in again. You know how to log back in, right, Art?
Well, Daniel.
Ask Daniel if you can help me with that.
There's some instructions here.
Sorry, guys. I had to use the bathroom.
Yeah, so you hear me, Daniel?
Yep, I hear you loud and clear.
Yeah, so in order to go into private caucus with each side, and because of the Zoom breakout rooms that we normally use are not functioning right now, we're going to have your side log off. You just gonna have to click the button
that
says leave, to leave the meeting. And then when we're ready, you'll log back in. I just want to make sure you know how to log back in back on the Zoom link.
Okay.
So we're leaving right now?
Yeah, okay.
All right. And then wait, and hold on. Who am I caucusing with first?
Ed and Alan.
Okay. So, Art, go ahead and log off.
Okay.
All right.